story is told of a young man who fell in love with a beautiful farmer's daughter, and he went to the farmer and asked for her hand in marriage. The farmer kind of looked him up and down, and he said, "Well, son, we'll give you a test first. If you can pass the test, you can marry my daughter." He said, "All right." So he tells the boy, he said, "I want you to go out in a field and stand out in the middle of that field, and I'm going to release three bulls, one at a time, and if you can grab the tail of either one of these bulls, then you can marry my daughter." So the young man said, "Fine." He loved the girl very much. He said, "I'll do that." He goes out in the field. So the farmer releases the first bull out of the chute. I want to tell you what, this is the meanest, baddest, awfulest looking bull he's ever seen in his life. He said, "The next one can't be worse." So he runs over to the side of the fence and lets the bull run by out the back of the pasture. So he goes over, stands in the middle of the field again. Well, this time, this bull's even worse. I mean, it's snorting and pawing the ground and slobbering and charging at him like it's going to kill him. He runs over to the side of the fence. The bull goes out to the back of the pasture. So he goes back and he waits for the third bull. Well, the farmer lets out the third bull. This bull comes out. He is the scrawniest little bull you've ever seen in all your life. I mean, the young man can't believe it. He said, this is the one. And so he stands there, and this bull's not even running, just barely ambling down the field. And he comes by, and the young man reached out to grab his tail, and he doesn't have a tail. Now, life is like that. It's full of opportunities. Some are easy to take advantage of, some are difficult. But once we let these opportunities pass by, they will never be there again to be available to us. I want us to think this morning about making the most of your opportunities. And our text is found in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." It sure is good to be with you this morning. This is a wonderful opportunity that when Herb contacted me about coming, I could not pass up this opportunity. I remember fondly 12 years ago when I was here in a gospel meeting and the good week that we had together and your encouragement and how much we enjoyed it. And I'm glad that you've invited me to come back. I might add this caveat: I hope you won't wait another 12 years, because I might be old by then, possibly. All right? But I'm glad to be here today and to be with you, and not only those that are here, but the thousands of you that are watching at home. Well, maybe the hundreds that are watching at home, but whoever's watching at home, we're glad that you've tuned in, and maybe some more will tune in. And I've been excited to meet folks that read my blog, The Preacher's Word. You've got your sermon notes you see down there, my blog, The Preacher's Word. If you haven't read that, check it out. I think it'll bless you. There's no charge for it. And I write something every day practically. And I hope it'll be something that you check out and it'll help you. But we're glad to be here. Herb mentioned in the Bible class, and by the way, Herb, I appreciate you and Trish, your hospitality. They invited us to come over last night so we didn't have such a long drive this morning. And Spen and I took us out to eat, and it just made us feel like home folks. And we appreciate that, Herb, so very much, and your graciousness.
And the Preacher's Word blog is misspelled on here.
It's misspelled?
Yeah, it's got a D in
it. I wonder who did that. It's the Preacher's Word. Well, you know what that means, don't you, Herb?
I don't.
Norma did not proof that. So anytime you read my blog and there's an error, I made a mistake. See? But she didn't proof it. See? If there's an error, that means Norma didn't proof it. So, and she didn't. I just typed that up real quick the other day and I didn't proof it. It's the Preacher's Word. Okay. Well, thank you, Herb, for pointing that out, because no one would find it. You can also go on Facebook and find me, too. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Herb was mentioning in the Bible study class about the fact that I'm not doing located work anymore. My last located work was 2.5 years ago in the Dallas area. And we'd had a dream for several years to be able to travel full time and combine that with ministry opportunities. So the Lord has blessed us, and we've been able to do that for the past 2.5 years. And we have been, during that period of time, in 34 states, 10 countries, And this makes our 46th congregation that we have visited during that time. And so someone said that you look good. You don't look like you've aged any. Well, it's travel, folks. That's what it is. You know, just travel all over the place and you feel good. But no, we've been blessed and we've had a lot of great opportunities. This year, COVID threw some problems into that. We were scheduled to go back to Canada and work with the churches in Ontario. And Doug Ford says that we're reckless Americans, the premier of Ontario, so the border's still closed and we can't go. And we're supposed to be some other places. But anyway, we were able to take advantage of some other opportunities. And we're glad for the opportunity to be here with you today. And thank the shepherds very much for their trust put in us. So I want us to take this verse apart this morning and really think about what this means and make some applications that I think will bless you and help you in your walk with the Lord during these times. The Bible tells us there, be careful how you live. Now, as I read that, I thought, you know, you're going to miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you're not careful how you live. In other words, if you live recklessly, you're going to miss out on some things. The wise man warns us about that in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. He said, a wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. Now, we've all known folks like that. They're hot-headed. They have a short fuse. They're reckless. And if you're the kind of person that just lives kind of an impetuous, reckless, wild life, you're just going to miss out on tons of opportunities to bless other people and to serve the Lord and do good. Not only that, if you don't live carefully and you live selfishly, you're going to miss out on some good opportunities. In Galatians chapter 5, is a list of the works of the flesh. And he says they're evident. And he mentions things like fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. I mean, yeah, those are bad things, right? I mean, those are the black sins. You don't want to engage in those. But isn't it interesting in the middle of that, at the end of it, yeah, murder, that's not good. That's a bad thing. Getting drunk, not good. But in the middle of that, he mentions selfish ambition. And we don't think about that because we think about it in America about it being ambitious. Now, I will give you this caveat. I believe there's a difference between ambition and selfish ambition. That a person can have a godly ambition that uses his talents, skills, abilities, opportunities, resources, money, whatever it is, to be able to do good and to touch the lives of other people and enhance the work of the Lord. But when it's a selfish ambition, then all of that is turned inward and you miss out on opportunities. You know why? Because you're self-absorbed. You are self-centered and you're only looking at gratifying your own desires and studying what you can do for other people. Well, not only that, you're going to miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you live fearfully. Fear will paralyze you from acting, from pursuing opportunity, from stepping out in faith. And I tell you, we're living in a time in these COVID times where a lot of people are afraid. Now, I think there's certainly virtue in being prudent. A lot of our friends probably think that we are reckless because during this COVID time, I mean, we have been from Florida to the Smoky Mountains to Glacier National Park and in between. Now, I know that's covered a lot of ground. We try to be careful. We don't stop in major cities, or I get on the New York Times and see their list there of the COVID outbreaks and stay away from those counties. It breaks it right down to county and stay away from crowds and, you know, follow the mandates wherever I'm at. So, but you can't, we're just not going to hole up and sit there and oh, we're going to die. We're all going to die. Well, I mean, what if we do die? Well, you're just going to go to heaven. So I'm just not going to be afraid. I'm not going to worry about it. And so you use common sense. You use prudence. You try to respect other people's wishes and obey the laws of the land. But you can't live in fear. When Joshua took the mantle of leadership from Moses, and God encouraged Joshua as he faced the enemies going into the land of Canaan, he said, have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's nothing else that I can share with you today that you would remember from this lesson, don't be afraid. God is with you wherever you go. Put your trust in God, because if you're afraid, then you're going to miss out on opportunities. If I was afraid, I wouldn't be here today. I say, well, I'm going to stay home. I worship at home. I'm afraid. Now, if you're worshiping at home, I understand there are some people have pre-existing conditions and elderly people and people with different illnesses and so forth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sometimes people that just allow their fears to get the best of them. Well, then you're going to miss out on a lot of good opportunities if you live aimlessly. And there are a lot of people that are aimless. They lack purpose. They lack vision. They lack goals. They're not focused on really serving the Lord. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I think it's interesting when Paul wrote this to the Philippian church, you know where he was, don't you? He was in Roman prison. He was an aged man at this point in life. He had made the three missionary journeys, the voyage to Rome. He's now in prison. But Paul said, I'm not just sitting back in a cell with my arms folded thinking about the good old days or complaining about my lot in life. He said, I'm pressing on. And so you can actually be imprisoned in a sense, maybe not just literally, but maybe by COVID-19 or whatever else. But you can still press on. You can still keep your eye on the goal. You can still look heavenward. And if you don't do that, you're going to miss out on some good opportunities. And so be careful, number one, how you live. But secondly, he said in his text, you need to walk in wisdom. Now, there is a worldly wisdom and there is a spiritual wisdom. Herb alluded to that in the Bible class this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, James talks about wisdom that is earthly and that is sensual and is demonic. And this kind of wisdom involves people that are self-seeking folks, people that may have bitter envying in their hearts. It is a wisdom that doesn't come from above. It certainly doesn't come from God. It comes from below. And it causes envy and self-seeking and confusion and all kinds of evil things. This is the wisdom that is from below. Spiritual wisdom, on the other hand, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:17, is based upon the will of God. And so Paul would write, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with the wisdom of men, lest the cross of Christ should be made of non-effect. So we go back to James, and here's the wisdom that's based on the will of God. It is from above. What is it? He says it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality or prejudice, and without hypocrisy. And so we walk in wisdom, not earthly wisdom, not sensual wisdom, not demonic wisdom, but spiritual wisdom. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to gain wisdom? Well, if you're going to get this kind of wisdom, you got to walk with God. You got to spend some time with God. Now, you know what that means, don't you, folks? That means getting into the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. Now, you do that, obviously, both of your Bible. All right? So that's got to be number one, because that's where the Word of God is. But you come to a Bible class like Herb just did a wonderful job, I thought, of overviewing those chapters. I didn't know how you get through all of that. But he did a wonderful job of overview. And so we learn from God's word as we sit and listen to teachers. Blogs are good. Good blogs, like the preacher's word, recommended very highly. And so that will point you back into the word, you see. And help you. But you got to spend time with God. Praying. Talking to God. Communing with God. Meditating on God. You got to spend time with God. And then you spend time with godly people. We spend so much time in the world. If you are still working, work a job, and especially if you're not relegated to your home office, but you actually go to an office or go out where folks are, you're around all the time people that are not godly people. In fact, sometimes We have to associate with people that are just the opposite. They're ungodly. They're unrighteous. And every thought and imagination that comes out of their mind and heart is ungodly and unrighteous. And we got to live in that kind of world. And like Lot, our righteous souls may be vexed at times and have to put up with the putridity of people's ungodliness and the language they use and the attitudes that they manifest. And so we need to spend as much time as we can with godly people, whether it's in assemblies like this. And I know in these post-COVID times we got to limit our get-togethers. But aren't they saying, I don't know about Florida because I've been in so many states the last few months, but like you can have your social pod. Do you have your social, now what they call it, a social pod or something? I've heard that somewhere along the line where I was. Maybe it's in Montana, I don't know. But anyway, this little social group, you know, where you feel comfortable that everybody's being safe. I've been in some places where brethren have their little group. I was out in Denver, and the folks we stayed with, they had their little, I think that's where I got it, a social pod, a group of people that they would get together with on a regular basis to fellowship with and encourage. If you're allowed to do that and you feel comfortable doing that, spend time with godly people. But also we learn from people of wisdom. Now, this sounds like I'm contradicting myself a little bit because I was warning about the people of the world. But, you know, sometimes we do learn from people of the world. When Jesus told the parable of the unjust steward, and you remember that steward that was going to be put out, and so he began to make friends by reducing the debts of these people because he said, you know, that I'm not going to beg. And so I got to make friends with people. And instead, the Lord commended the unrighteous steward because he had done wisely. And then he said this, for the sons of this world are for their own generation wiser than the sons of light. And so there are times when we can look at things that happen in the world and we can make applications spiritually to those things, whether it's in business or marketing or a lot of different things, that we can see how we can apply that to the work of the Lord. Hey, we're learning a lot about technology, right? That the world has been using that maybe we've been lagging behind on. And folks today, they're not able to come to worship or have health concerns or whatever, can literally be at home and can watch a lesson like this and can participate. And so that is a good thing. Well, the next thing he tells us in this text, he says the days are evil. Have y'all noticed that? that the days are evil. Now think about, you know, Paul's writing this to the Ephesians back in the first century, maybe in the early 60s or so, that the days, he said, are evil. And that just reminds us, ladies and gentlemen, there have always been evil days. Now, I don't know about you. See, I grew up in the 50s and early 60s, okay? That's the 1950s and 60s, okay, by the way. All right. I grew up in those times, and they were pretty innocent. In fact, Gail, I sort of remember even when we were in Palmetto in the late 70s and early 80s, compared to a lot of what's going on today, those were relatively innocent times, weren't they? I mean, you look at what's changed morally in our culture today, in the home and marriage and just so many different things. A lot's changed in the last 50 years or so, hasn't it? We live in evil days. But there's always, I said, been evil days. And so the Apostle Paul to the Philippians would say that you should become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, and I have not labored in vain. And so we have to adjust as we deal with the times that we live in. You know, we're not going back. I mean, I know that we think that America is the salvation of the world, and if a certain party's in power and a certain president is in power and Supreme Court's going to change all this stuff. I don't know about all that. But I want to tell you this. The hope of America is the same hope of the rest of the world, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the hope of the world. And whether we reverse Roe v. Wade, or we outlaw same-sex marriage, or make homosexuality unlawful again, like it used to be actually in this country, whether we do that or not really is not going to make any difference to us if we are holding forth the word of light. If we are walking blameless and harmless as children of God. If we are living like we ought to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And so I'm saying if we're going to make the most of every opportunity, that's what we've got to do. Don't wring your hands and worry yourself to death. Oh, how bad it was. How bad it is. And it used to be this way and that way when I was a kid growing up. Yeah, it's changed from the little three-channel black and white TV I had and watching Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best and The Lone Ranger. That day's not coming back, okay? That day's gone forever. We're living now in our generation, and so we have to live in this generation if we're going to make the most of every opportunity. So let me take the last part of the lesson, and let's just talk about how we're going to do that. How do we make the most of every opportunity? Well, one, we need to seek opportunity. Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. You know, sometimes we sing the song, Seeking the Lost. Well, that's a wonderful song, but are we really seeking the lost? Are we really seeking to build relationships with our friends and our neighbors and relatives and people that we work with and come in contact with, then we might bring them to Christ? Are we seeking opportunity? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I have found in life, in a lot of things, that you find what it is you're seeking. You ever kind of notice that you just sort of seem to find? We were out on the beach the other day, and this guy had a metal detector. Now, he was a serious metal detector guy because he had headphones on, you know, not just waiting to hear this little beep. It wasn't a cheap metal detector. And he had a special little shovel that when he hears something, he digs. And it was a fancy looking piece of equipment. And so I don't think he was seeking bottle tops. I don't think. He's seeking rings and coins and some things of value. And you know what? If he does that enough, that's what he's probably going to find. See? You know, you're going to find what you see. Kind of reminds me of the soldier. And a general noticed that this soldier on the base was acting oddly. And what he would do is he'd walk around the base and kind of muttered himself. And he'd see a piece of paper and he'd pick it up. Look, I said, that's not it. And he'd walk a little further and he'd see a piece of paper over here. And he'd pick it up and go, that's not it. General thought, that's odd. Well, he noticed the next day, he did that every day. So the general just referred him to the base psychiatrist to have a mental evaluation. Well, guess what? He had the mental evaluation by the psychiatrist, and they decided that he was mentally imbalanced, and they gave him a medical discharge. And so the day came for him to go in and pick up his discharge papers. He walked in, he handed him the papers, he looked at it, and he goes, this is it. See, you find what you're seeking. Now, when it comes to opportunities, are we really seeking opportunity? Are we trying to find opportunity? Paul said in Galatians 6:10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's a lot of opportunity for us to do good, both within the family of believers and with our fellow man. You know, even this COVID situation. I was talking to a friend of mine some time ago when people were pretty much sequestered and churches weren't even meeting. And he and some of his fellow elders went to see people that were shut in. And he said, we have 17 names in the congregation of older people that we're concerned about. And their wives baked some cookies. And they called them, they were coming. They went and left cookies on the doorstep and let them know they were there and then social distanced, all right, and talked to them a little bit and prayed for them. Now, I thought, what a neat idea. And they went around, all 17 of these elderly people, and did that. And I've heard other kinds of stories of people that are looking for opportunities to do things. What are you seeking in life? Is it ease? Is it wealth? Is it prestige? Is it acceptance? Is it popularity? What are you seeking? The song says, Lord, send me. There's a call for workers. Lord, send me. Seek and you will find. If you're going to make the most of your opportunities, you've got to be seeking them. But it's not enough just to seek. We've got to really see them when they come about. Open my eyes, the psalmist said, that I may see. J. Oswald Sanders, in his book Spiritual Leadership, wrote, eyes that look are common, eyes that see are rare. And he was talking about vision, really, really seeing. So it's one thing to look, but it's another thing to really see. It's like a visitor comes into our assembly. Do we really see that here is an opportunity? How many times have we had situations in local churches where a visitor comes in and maybe they're not welcomed as they should be? Or we don't get a visitor's card. We don't know if they were traveling. We don't know if they just moved in down the street, if they're Christian, not a Christian, and an opportunity is lost. And I've known people not go back to churches that were looking for a church home because they weren't received warmly at that congregation. The folks there did not see an opportunity. What about when people are moving into your neighborhood? There's a moving van. Now, let me tell you, give you a little tip. If you see a moving van down the street and they're loading furniture in the van, those people are moving out of the neighborhood. Okay? Now, this is deep stuff. Now, follow me, okay? Now, what that tells you is that for long, there's going to be another moving van, and they're going to be unloading furniture, and those people are moving into the neighborhood. You know what I call that? Opportunity. Wouldn't that be an opportunity? And so maybe you go down the street and welcome them. Maybe you bake a pie. I don't know. Or go down to Kentucky Fried Chicken and bring them meals or moving in. Welcome them to the neighborhood. And let them know you're glad to be there. And get to know their names. And then the next day or two when you see them out in the yard, you can wave and say hi. And then you can stop by and say, well, are you finding everything? From your move down here from Kalamazoo, how do you like the weather? You know, how's you finding a dentist? You finding a doctor? You know a good place to get pizza? Let me tell you one. Oh, have you found a church home? Let me recommend a church home to you. I worship with a needless little group over here. I think you'd love them. It's a great fellowship. And you just, you know, we recommend everything else, don't we? Restaurants and doctors and pizzas. Why not recommend a church family? Why not recommend a place where people can come and to be able to be fed spiritually? Are our eyes open to brethren that may be hurting? Not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally? Are we aware? Are we really seeing what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Or maybe opportunities do good when we travel on vacation? Or maybe seasonal? We're going to have seasonal opportunities that are coming up here very shortly. Our tradition has been in our fellowship many times to point out what's wrong with some of the seasonal opportunities instead of embracing the opportunities to maybe share our faith with people. And I don't have to give a long list of what's wrong with the season, but what I can do is take an opportunity to share my faith in the Lord with someone that may be receptive during that time, that maybe some other time they would be. And you know, even adversity can be an opportunity for us to be able to do good. J. Sidlow Baxter said, what is the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity? And he writes, our attitude toward it. Every opportunity has a difficulty, and every difficulty has an opportunity. And so Jesus would say, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe unto harvest. We need to see opportunity. We need to seek it. We need to see it. And then we obviously need to seize it. Seize the opportunity. Colossians 4 and verse 5 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. I love the quip by the late comedian Jonathan Winters, who once said, I couldn't wait for success, and so I just went ahead without it. That's pretty good. How often have we had an opportunity and we didn't take advantage of it and it just slipped through our fingers? Have you ever said, oh man, I should have said something. I should have done this. I should have given them a card or a track or invited them. Man, what? But you know what? That opportunity's gone. If you don't seize it, if you don't act, if you don't speak up. You see, knowing and realizing is not enough. We're called upon to act, to follow through, to do something, seizing the opportunities. You know, there's an expression that became famous out of the movie by Robin Williams, Dead Poets Society, Carpe Diem. You remember that movie, I'm sure, Carpe Diem. And you know in that movie that the headmaster of that, played by Williams, tries to help those boys in that boarding school to realize that they're there for a short time by showing them the pictures of previous students, you know. And remember he said to him, he said, boys, we're food for worms. Believe it or not, every one of us in this room one day will stop breathing and turn cold and die. And you remember how he had him to step forward and he said, see these faces from the past? He said, they were just like you are now. They believed they were destined for great things. Their eyes were full of hope. But you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daisies. If you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. What do you hear? And then Robin, you remember, leans in as the boys are looking at these pictures and with this eerie, grave-like voice goes, Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary. I wonder maybe if the Lord might not be looking down from heaven and saying to us, Carpe diem. Seize the day, brethren. Seize the day, brother, sister. Make your life extraordinary. Do what it is that you can do today. And so with courage and confidence and passion and the understanding that the opportunity will soon pass, we seize it. If you have your songbooks and need to turn to that, I assume most are probably following the PowerPoint. We're going to sing an invitation song in just a minute. And we're going to sing that song with the idea, if you owe a duty to God to make your life right with God, or maybe you've never obeyed the gospel, and through faith, repentance, and baptism, you would become a child of God. Before we sing, I want to tell you about ab portu. You Latin majors will recognize that immediately because this was a Latin term, is a Latin term, for a ship standing over port, waiting for the moment when the tide could come in high where the ship could come in to harbor. And so the word, English word, opportunity is derived from this original meaning. As a captain in the old days was waiting for that moment for the tide to come in, and it was safe for the ship to dock. And they knew if they missed that, then they'd have to wait later. You English majors may recall that Shakespeare turned this into this meaning into the background of one of his most famous passages in Julius Caesar, when he wrote, there is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and miseries. Of such a sea we are now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. It is easy for us, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, to think that in these COVID times and people wearing masks and social distancing and all these things are going on, that we got to wait till some better time for opportunity. Maybe the tides come in and we haven't realized it. Ab portu. And here we are now. Because if we miss out on whatever opportunities are now present in this situation for serving, for doing good, for ministering to the needs of others and the hurts of others, then such an opportunity is gone forever. And so my message to you this morning is simple. Make the most of every opportunity. This morning we provide an opportunity for you to get your life right with God. If we can help you in any way to do that, it'd be our pleasure to do so while together we stand and while we sing.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon.